Amen. Thank you. Y'all got a lot of talent here. Oh, good job. So open your Bible to Philippians chapter 2. We'll pick up in verses 9 through 11, the second half of where I left off a couple of weeks ago. Thank you for praying for me while I was in Brazil. I was doing kind of what my passion is, which is training pastors and church planters and missionaries, and was assigned to discipleship, which is more my passion, and really enjoyed that. Had a great young interpreter. She was 19 years old, spoke very good English, but for about 4 or 5 days straight, we went from having church in the morning and then having breakout discussions over what the sermon was about, going to lunch, coming back, doing counseling, one-on-one with a couple after that, doing a workshop after that, doing supper, having church again. So it was a long, grueling deal. The trip itself was extremely hard, a 2-day trip, but it was a great experience. My little interpreter, she was 19 years old. She knew a lot of scripture. And I believe she'll be an apologetist. And by the end of the day, I closed out on Saturday night with our conference. I was the last speaker. And I started realizing in the workshop, which was before supper, that they were getting tired, our interpreters. My little interpreter, I would share something in my workshop, and she would look at me and say, "Okay." When you are using an interpreter and they do that, that's not a good sign. So, and actually, I threw some hard words on her on that night when we came back to preach, and she literally quit on me a couple of times. But it was still a good experience. Great people there. I was able to eat lunch at a churrascaria. I think I pronounced that right. Brazilian steakhouse every day, because beef there is way cheaper than it is here. So that was pretty cool to be able to do that. I told them, when I go home, y'all have ruined me. So, but anyway, you know, it was a great experience. We had an interpreting team, and the one that was over it, him and his wife had been missionaries to Jordan. They had been missionaries in several other places, and they did circus as an outreach to be able to bring people in. His wife was a trapeze artist, so she goes every Wednesday to the favelas, you know, basically the ghettos in Brazil, and she teaches trapeze artism so that she can bring people in and have a Bible study with them. So though, you guys need to step it up, all right? So they're doing some really cool things. So I want to see some of y'all doing that, all right? The easier part probably fits the rest of us. Her husband was a clown, so I think we can all do that one. But it was a real good experience, so thank you for just praying for us. Holly Miller, many of you know him. He was with us. John Miller, his son, has a big mission there. And Holly actually is in the hospital now. It was a hard trip, even on me. He got pneumonia, so be praying for him and lifting him up. Now, we come back to our scripture today. And when I left you a couple of weeks ago, we were going through Philippians 2, 5 through 11. And the more I prayed about it, I thought, we need to break that up. So 2 weeks ago, we looked at the humanity of Jesus Christ, and we saw how that he had to lay aside certain qualities and attributes of his deity so that he could become a human being, that he would empty himself in the form of a man in the womb, be born of a virgin birth, live that sinless life, go to the cross, die on the cross, be resurrected, and now we wait for him to return. But what we saw about that was even in his human form, he was still 100% God and 100% human. His deity was unalterable and unchangeable. But today, we're going to look full on at the deity of Jesus Christ, and we're only going to read a couple of verses. So if you want to stand with me for the reading of God's word in Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. I'm reading from the New King James, and it says, Paul was writing, and remind you, he's writing from prison when he writes this. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Lord, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the precious, sweet Spirit that we have here with us today. I pray that you would get me out of your way and ask you to bring to us your Word that we need to hear today. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Giving you kind of a couple of references that go along with this as we think about the deity of Jesus Christ. And I made reference to some of these, but we go back to John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. I love how that starts in John chapter 1. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Without Him was not anything made that was made." So there literally have been people through history that have tried to separate God, have tried to separate Jesus, and have tried to separate the Holy Spirit. But I assure you that we serve a triune God and that we have a Trinity that is three in one, one God with a plural of majesties, and we recognize that. And today, even now, that there are people, that I just can't do that. I can't believe that. Well, you know, it is by faith that we believe this. If we try to reconcile it, put it together in our mind, it really just doesn't make any sense. And, you know, I remember Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. The reason that he said that he converted from Christianity to Islam is he literally said, "I can't believe in a three-headed God." And there are people who all the time have tried to follow this and look at it. And even now, there's a denomination that I'm not going to mention, but when I tell you, they have really, really good music, and their women don't wear makeup, and they wear really long dresses, that believe in modalism, that it was God, and then when Jesus was on the earth, it was Jesus, and now it's the Holy Spirit, and when Jesus comes back, it's all going to come back together. But I want you to know, and you can see reference to this more than once. When Jesus was baptized, God spoke from heaven. The Holy Spirit descended on him. So we see that there is a plural of majesties. It's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I was pastoring my first full-time church in Sweetwater as a young preacher, and I sat in a Sunday school class, and the man taught that that Jesus was a good man, and he was such a good man that God decided to make him the Messiah. That is heresy. Okay, so please don't go down that direction. And we're going to look at some verses here that will show you that that is not correct. And I've already mentioned one in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 18, the writer, again, is Paul, who's writing this here to Philippians, writes, and he says, "He, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence." He is God. He is Lord. It reminded me when I'm reading that, there was a little girl who was drawing a picture one day, and her dad said, "What are you drawing?" She said, "I'm drawing a picture of God." And he says, "Well, nobody know what God looks like." And she said, "They will when I'm done." So, but we have that faith of a childlike image that we recognize that, and let me give you another one. I love this one. It's Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. It says, "God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person." Now, I'm reading there from the New King James. If you look at the NIV that I believe is in your pew, and I made reference to this a couple of weeks ago, that it says that Jesus is the exact representation of God. So, can you imagine? They're walking along with Jesus for 3.5 years. They were literally walking with God. That we see this. What an amazing picture this is. Now, you can go on and read more of that, but I want you to see this as we look at the deity of Jesus. I've given you a couple of scriptures that help us to recognize and know that He is God. Now, here's the thing that's hard for a lot of us to understand, and especially people that are really into mathematics or physics or engineering, is that Jesus was 100% man, but He was 100% God. It just doesn't add up. So by faith, we trust and we believe and we know that what God has done is all that we need. Now, where we're going to come to today, I just wanted to make a reference to that and show you the deity of Jesus Christ, but I want you to see this morning the power of the name of Jesus. Years ago, we sang a little song, "There's Just Something About That Name." Y'all remember that? There's just something about the name of Jesus. And there used to be a little dialogue that went along with that that you don't hear anybody do anymore, that at the name of Jesus, I've seen derelicts transformed. I've seen the lame get up and walk. I've seen the fever leave the side of a child that was there when a mother spoke the name of Jesus over that child. There is power in the name of Jesus Christ. And that power that it in His name, the Bible teaches us in Acts, that we see, and the Bible literally says, "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved." It's only through Jesus are we saved. You know, I've done a lot of ministry with Hispanic people, and there's a lot of Hispanic men named Jesus, Jesus, not the same one. All right, so please don't confuse that. It reminded me why I have to say that. There was a black pastor and a white pastor. They were best friends. They did everything together all of their lives. They played golf together. You know, they would meet every week. They'd have lunch together, and they had this debate all the time that when the black preacher was like, "Okay, Jesus is black." The white preacher, "No, He isn't. He's white." So they debated it all the time. Both of them got up in years, and as they got up in years and, you know, they started getting closer to heaven, it came time for them to go. And matter of fact, they both died just one right after the other. So here they are in heaven, and they're like, "Okay, finally we're going to know." And they asked somebody, said, "We've had this debate our entire lives. Is Jesus black or is He what?" And all of a sudden, they said, "Well, here He comes, ask Him." So here along comes Jesus. He looks at him and says, "Buenos dias, hermanos." So, yeah, we can throw all kinds of stuff out there and think that Jesus is this or that or whatever, but we try to create Him in our image, and really it's not, because He is way more powerful than that, and He is way more holy and just than any of us could ever even begin to think. But the power of the name of Jesus, no other name. Do you remember what happened in Acts chapter 3? Peter and John, they're walking along. Pentecost has already happened. They've seen 3,000 people saved, and all of a sudden they're walking into the temple, and there's a man who is laying there lame, and he looks at Peter and John and expects them to give him some money because he was a beggar. And you remember what John and what they said? "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk." And what did he do? Not only did he rise up and walk, he jumped up leaping around joyously, because at the name of Jesus, he had been healed. God also highly exalted him. When you see this in verse 9, "Therefore God also has highly exalted him." That verb, highly exalted or super exalted, only appears here in the New Testament. It does not mean an increase in His divine nature. It means exalted to the highest position, King of kings and Lord of lords. He's the only one, the only high priest, who offering the blood from his own body, his own sacrifice on the mercy seat of heaven, when he had done that, said, it is done, it is finished. We don't have to go back again next year and do this. It is complete. Salvation has been provided for all, for every single one of us, that you can now be saved from your sins. In Hebrews 7:25 says that he saves us to the uttermost, as much as we possibly can. What a beautiful thought that is. There are 30 references to the name of Jesus in the book of Acts, and that's pretty amazing. You know, if you stop and think about it, there's at least 30 references to the name of Jesus, and we have several things that happen. And all of these things that took place, you can see that when they came to arrest Jesus, you remember the night that he was betrayed, that Judas came to betray him with a kiss so that he would wind up going to the cross and pay for our sins. Do you remember what happened? Jesus said, who are you looking for? And they said, Jesus. And he said, here I am. What did they do? They fell down. Remember that. Here is one of the greatest armies of that day. And when they hear the name of Jesus and see him, even though that God had provided that way for him to go and die on the cross for you and I, their initial response was to kneel down and fall back and fall down. The Magi, the wise men, when Jesus was born and they came to Jesus and they came to him, what did they do? They knelt down and they gave him gifts. When you think about the others, the centurions, all of the others, when they encountered Jesus, the leper, the lame, the blind, the demon-possessed man, and many more, all fell at the feet of Jesus Christ. You know, we love that song. It became probably the most popular song ever during its time, I can only imagine. It was a crossover song. It was a Christian song. They played it on pop charts. They played it on country charts. They played it on everything, and it became one of the, probably the highest-selling songs that was ever written. And I love that song, but there's a part in there that I know the answer to. You know, and it asks that question, and it says, when I stand before Jesus, will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? I know the answer. You will fall. You will kneel. We just read that right there. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, either now or later. Later is not good. Trust me, you want to do it now. All right? When you think about the name of Jesus, we do not minister under our own name, but under the name of Jesus Christ. He said that he's given him the name which is above every name. Jesus, Messiah. What an amazing thought to understand that we fall under that category, that when we are born again into the kingdom of God, that by being transformed by the Holy Spirit and by being renewed and regenerated and washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, that we are positioned firmly in Christ, and Christ is in us, and nothing can take us out of that. And because of that, we operate under the name of Jesus Christ. We have a sheriff here in Anderson County. He's actually a friend of mine somewhat, most of the time. and he has a lot of authority. We have elected him the sheriff, and because he is the sheriff and he can't take care of 81,000 people in Anderson County by himself, he has several deputies. Several of those deputies are pretty big, burly dudes. You know, they look like bodybuilders. And you're like, man, yeah. But there's a lot of these deputies that are little bitty women. And I'm thinking, okay, go. If one of these little bitty women pulls you over and you're a big masculine man, you know, you probably could overpower her. Well, not with a gun, but anyway, you know, that you might be able to overpower her, but she is operating under the authority of the government of the state of Tennessee, of Anderson County, of the sheriff himself. So she is operating under the name of the sheriff. So she has authority. What is authority? Authority is the right to use power. That means she can shoot you if she needs to. If you resist and do all the things that you shouldn't do, she has the authority to, you know, to take out her billy club, to do whatever, to shoot you, whatever. And that is authority not based on her size or her physical ability. It's based under the name that she is under. And I want you to understand something. Those of us today who are here and we are Christians, we are operating under a greater name than the Anderson County Sheriff's Department. We are operating under a greater name than the President of the United States, because we operate under the name King of Kings and Lord of Lords and Jesus Christ. And that's why when he ascended in Matthew 28, he said, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth, and I'm giving you that power. You have the authority to use that. What an amazing thought. There's power in the name of Jesus. We don't have any power, but Jesus has all power and authority, and we have the authority to use his power through the Holy Spirit and our position in Christ. You will either kneel to that name here in this life, or you will kneel at the great white throne judgment right before that all those who don't have their names in the Lamb's Book of Life will, by their own testimony and their own works, wind up in hell. Not because God sent them there, because on the cross, Jesus elected every person. That's why the Bible says, let whosoever will take the water of life freely. That's why the Bible says that God loved us so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, that's everybody, has the opportunity, but you choose. He chose you on the cross, but he gives you the opportunity to choose him. And if you don't choose him, you can live through this life and think, man, I'm my own man, I'm my own woman, I don't need God or anybody else. Well, just wait. You know, there's many evil rulers in this world. Many of them who say that we don't believe in Jesus, we don't believe in God. Many of them say, I am God, to their entire country and in certain countries that, you know, hey, I'm God, and you better serve me. If you don't do what I want you to do, then you're up the creek. Now, I want to remind you that something's going to happen one of these days. They're going to bow to Jesus. In 2022, the Southern Baptist Convention was in Anaheim, California, and I usually have a convention expense that's built into my travel, and my convention expense, if I'd went to Anaheim, that would have caused, I would have lost. I wouldn't have been able to do anything else the rest of the year because it's expensive to fly to California from Tennessee. So, and I shared that with one of our pastors and with a group of pastors, said, I'm not going to go this year because, you know, it's too expensive. Well, the next thing I know, one of those churches had sent me in the mail, said, we're giving you $1,000 extra so that you can go to Anaheim. I was like, shoot, thank you, Lord. I really didn't want to go, honestly. And I thought, now I have to go. But I went, and my hotel was, you know, it was about a mile from the convention center, and I've got knee and ankle problems, and at that time it was bothering me, and I probably could have walked a mile, but I really didn't want to walk a mile, walk all over the convention center, walk a mile back. So I got an Uber every day, and out of seven Uber drivers, I shared the gospel with all seven of them, and I was able to lead three of them to the Lord. And they had no basis. They had no religious upbringing. They had no training. It was an evangelist dream. You know, that, hey, let me tell you about Jesus. And in about a 7 or about a 10 minute Uber ride, I was able to quickly go through the gospel, share the faith with them, three of them, and stayed in touch with them and handed them off to the people in Los Angeles so that they could make a follow up with them. But I was on a roll. Man, I was on a roll. You know, and the last day we're flying from Anaheim, and one of the problems when you fly and you come back on the red eye, which is what I always do, that not on purpose, it's just the way it works out. So we're flying from Anaheim. We have a stop in Dallas, I really don't like the Dallas airport. Let me just tell you. A lot of my friends will say, I hate Atlanta. I lived in Atlanta. I love the Atlanta airport. They've got trains. They've got systems. They've got everything else. One of my friends who's a pastor in Atlanta says, I don't care if you're going to heaven or hell, you're going to change planes in Atlanta. And that's kind of the way I feel about Dallas. But we stop in Dallas, and we only had maybe a 45-minute connection to make our connection from Anaheim. We sat on the runway at Anaheim for 45 minutes, so I knew immediately we're not making that connection. So I thought, okay, how are we going to do that? We get there, we get up to American, we go through all of that, and there's seven of us who are flying back to Knoxville, and all seven of us had been to Anaheim, to the Southern Baptist Convention, all in different churches. I didn't know any of them, but we went through, and there's so many stories of that, but they give you a voucher, and by then, we were supposed to get back to Knoxville at 11:30 at night. And by then, it's probably, 10:30, 11 o'clock in Dallas. We've missed everything. They're trying to rebook. Finally got rebooked for the next day. So there was just a mass of people. So here's you a hotel voucher. It's our fault. Here's you a dinner voucher. Here's you a cab voucher. And by the time I left the airport, all the restaurants were closed, so that dinner voucher was useless. So by the time I get in the cab, the only hotel that is still available is a 45-minute drive from the airport. It's midnight. I've got to check back in at the airport at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. I would not do this again, but I did it then. Jumped in the cab, went over there, and I did what I've been doing all week. About 45 minutes with this man. I'm going to tell him about Jesus. So he was Middle Eastern, and I asked him the question. It's my evangelism training. It's how can I pray for you? And he said, I appreciate that. I had a wreck, and the insurance company's trying to say it's my fault, and I might lose my cab driver license. So I prayed for him, said, God, if you want to bless this man, pray you do it. And I finished my prayer the way that I do always, in Jesus' name. And he said, I don't believe in Jesus. Jesus was a good man. And I said, well, I want you to know he was more than a man. He was God. And I quoted this stuff that we're reading here this morning and shared that with him. And within about 10 minutes, he was screaming at me in the top of his lungs, driving, going through Dallas for a 45-minute ride. I'm sitting in the back of the cab, and I'm sitting there listening. He's screaming to me, Jesus is not God. And I'm like, well, wait and see. I thought, I hope he doesn't have a gun or something, because I literally said, I paid you to pick me up, all right? So I need you to stop screaming at me, because you obviously have a different belief than I do. But, got to the hotel, everything worked out, I got home. It was a process that was not fun, but it happens when you're traveling. But you know what? As I thought about that and was praying for this, even though that was 4 years ago, all of these great dictators of the world, the one in Korea, the one in Cuba, the guy in Nicaragua that thinks he's the new Castro, all of these other people, and that Muslim cab driver one day is going to bow down and confess that Jesus is Lord, that he is God, and there's no other name where anybody's getting saved. Nobody's getting to heaven without Jesus. If you think that's possible, rewind back to John 14:6. Remember what it said? I'm the way. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto me except the Father. It comes unto the Father except through me. There's only one way to heaven. It's through Jesus. If you try anything else, then there are problems. All of these men, all of these women, and you here today. If you're here today and you're like, I don't need that. I don't need God. I came to church because somebody guilted me into it, or, I come to church so people don't harass me, and whatever it might be. But I want you to know that you will bow. And here's something that I've loved as I've read through Revelations multiple times. This verse has really struck me. Jesus is coming back, and when he comes back, he doesn't need a nuclear weapon. The Bible says that he will fight with the sword of his mouth, his word. How did God create the world? He spoke it into existence. So how is he going to clean this thing up when it's time? He's going to do it with his words, with his mouth. By the way, when you think about this, even when Jesus was going to the cross, when they took him in the garden, you remember Peter took out his sword and tried to cut off the guy's head, but wound up cutting his ear off. Jesus told him, said, hey, you know, this has got to happen. That's why I'm here. He put the guy's ear back on, and he said, don't you know that I could call 12 legions of angels right now, and all of this stuff would be over? But even more than that, don't you know that even when Jesus was hanging on the cross, all he had to do was speak the words and say, incinerate these people, and it would have been done. There's power in the Word of God. And what power that is, but just considering that. And the Bible teaches what heaven's going to look like and that the Lamb of God will be the light of that city. But this verse really just stepped, it really jumped out at me, which was Revelations 21:24, the latter part of that, and says, and the kings of the earth shall bring their glory and their honor into it. Wow. You know, all these kings, all this pomp and circumstance and all the things that people, they're going to bow down before Jesus. And all that glory that they think is theirs, they're giving it back to the one that deserves it. Many years ago, there was a debate over whether you could be a Christian and Jesus not be your Lord. Well, that was insane, and it's impossible. It was settled years ago that if Jesus is not your Lord, he is not your Savior. So if Jesus is not Lord of everything that you do today in August of 2026, then you need to check your salvation. We are a self-sufficient society, and we pride ourselves in being our own man. You know, we like to say we pulled ourselves up by our own bootstraps. I'll remind you, you can't do anything without Christ. In Colossians, the Bible says that in him, Jesus, all things consist. You know what that means? That means that pew that you're sitting on right now, if Jesus was bored and he wanted to, he could just say, Adam's come apart, and you'd fall out right down on the floor. That means every molecule that you breathe, of every oxygen that comes into you that is held together by Jesus Christ himself, and you're like, man, you're really pulling at straws. No, I'm not. He is Lord over everything, and he controls everything. And not only that, but he said in John 15:5, he said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. Do you remember what the next phrase says? For without me, you can do nothing. So here's the question. Will you bow today or will you gamble on eternity? Today is the day for you to give yourself to Christ. We're going to come with a song and get ready with an invitation, but I want to share with you something. Years ago, there was a woman that went to church that I pastored, and she was a very strong Christian. Her husband was not. He never came to church with her. You know, we prayed for him. We would visit him. He was mean a lot of times. I mean, he's downright hateful. I don't get that religion stuff. Just stay away from me. I don't care about that. You know, but I was a pastor when he went down, and, you know, he really got sick. I don't remember exactly what happened to him, but he went through that and he just kept rejecting God to the point he finally died. Now, I hope and pray. Now, God's a God of mercy. He may have prayed on his deathbed, but based on what we know about him, he did not do that. He was gambling eternity, but and as he got sick, he would say, I know I need to, but I'm not doing it. You know, and I'm thinking, what is wrong with people? You know, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, today is the day. And I'll ask you a question. Do you know for certain that if you died today, would you wake up in heaven? And you can say, well, I hope I would, or I think I would. Jesus didn't go through what he went through on the cross so that you could hope or think. The Bible says in 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life. How can you know? The Bible says again, I didn't use this, but the name of Jesus, Romans 10:13, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Father, you know our hearts and you know where we're at. And Lord, just what a beautiful presence that you have given us that we see this great hymn of faith that the Apostle Paul wrote from a prison. many miles away to a church that was dear to his heart. Lord, we have so much about your humanity and your deity just in these four verses or five verses. And just what a blessing it is that we can sit here in hindsight and look at them. But Lord, help us not to look at it and think, I have too much going on. I'm going to deal with that later. Or, you know, I'm going to get my life cleaned up first, because we know that won't happen. So I pray you'd stir the souls of every person in here today. And that this has not been settled in the heart of any person, let them settle it today, that you are Lord and Savior. And let them bow to you and ask you into their heart. Thank you for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together. We stand together and sing. You don't know Jesus, you need to give your life to him. Let's pray for one another. We've got a pastor search team now. So be praying for them. Ask God to give them direction and be praying for them. There's a prayer guide that we're going to look at eventually, probably hopefully soon, but be lifting that up and be asking God for prayers that you can pray right now. Pray for your future pastor. Pray for your future pastor's wife. Pray for your future pastor's children, and pray for the church where he's serving now, because most likely he'll probably come from another church. So, and just ask God for his direction there. So thank you for your attention.